Romans chapter 5, let's look in verse number 12. Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." All right, so through Adam, let's also read verse 15. The Bible says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." So in Adam, he brings us the gift. Oddly enough, that's what it calls it in verse 15. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift." What was that free gift? We got sin. We were born with sin. And so in Adam, we're all sinners, because Adam was made in the image of God, and we were made in the image of Adam, in the fallen image of Adam. And through Adam, what happens? We have the gift of sin and death. But in Jesus Christ, we have the gift of life. We have the gift of life. Look in verse 16. Romans 5, 16, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." And so in 1 Corinthians 15, we'll see that Jesus Christ is called the second Adam. All right, so Adam is the first Adam. Jesus Christ is the second Adam, but not in exactly the same. Not exactly the same thing, not even a good type as a positive type that we had looked at. This is a negative type. By Adam, we all have sin. But yet through Christ, we can all have life, eternal life. So Adam is sin and death, and Jesus Christ is eternal life. Look in chapter 6, verse 23. Probably a verse you have memorized. Romans 6, 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And how do we get that sin and that brought about death? That was through Adam. How do we get life and eternal life, the free gift of eternal life? That's through Jesus Christ. And so we have that contrast. We have that negative typology. In the same way, Adam introduces sin into the world. All right, so Adam introduces sin into the world with Adam and Eve partaking of the fruit that they shouldn't have. And then they have sin, and through their children, sin is entered into the world and all the way down the line, and here we sit with sin. And so that was introduced by Adam. And Jesus Christ, he introduces righteousness, a righteousness that man didn't know before Jesus Christ. There have been good men, the Bible tells us about them, but not like Jesus Christ. Never spoke like this man. And what is it? Is Jesus Christ, there was something about him. It was his righteousness. It was his holiness. And so Jesus Christ introduces righteousness. And now you and I, we live after Jesus Christ. That we should. We're trying to mimic and live and follow after Jesus Christ in that righteousness. All right, here's another negative type. Adam represents the natural man. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. Bible says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." All right, so we have the first Adam. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. Let's keep reading just for context. The first Adam is Adam. All right. "Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. All right, so what do we have here? We have Adam, the first man. What's he represent? He represents the natural man. It wasn't how he was placed in the garden by God, but after sin, he is mankind. He represents the natural man, the fallen man. And then Jesus Christ comes, and what does he represent? Represents the spiritual man. The opposite of that. He represents the exact opposite. He is the spiritual man, the one that we should follow after, and the one who does the right thing. It says he was made a quickening spirit. All right, the first man was made a living soul by God, and then Jesus Christ dies and is resurrected. And what's God do with Jesus Christ? He's made a quickening spirit, is what he's made. And so he's now alive. He's now alive forevermore, the Bible says. And so that's the negative typology, three of them, a negative typology between Adam and Jesus Christ. Now, here's a couple other things. Adam in the garden. All right, Adam in the garden. He was a man. That makes sense, right? He was a man placed there, body, soul, and spirit. God places him in the garden. But in the garden, he was also a servant. He was a servant. Turn there. Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2. All right, verse 15. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man. All right, there he is. He's a man. And put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He was a servant. God placed him in the garden and said, hey, this is yours. Take care of it. Now, that wouldn't have been too bad. There was no curse, right? But he had some work to do. Something was to be done. And so he had a work there, and he was a servant there in the garden. But you know what else he was? Adam was a king. I mean, it was a small kingdom. All he had to do is get one person to listen. And in reality, he couldn't even do that. I'm not going to say anything about who or what. I'm just going to say we all know how it was. He was a king of a kingdom. He had one subject. Didn't go great, all right? But he was a king. Not only that, he was placed in dominion over all of the animals. He was placed there and put there. Verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to everything. And so Adam is there, and what is he doing? He's taking care of everything. He's a king. He's the one that is the head of the situation. And the family, of course, as Eve comes along, and he is that. He was a husband. That's what else he was. He was a man. He was a servant. He was a king. And he was a husband. He was all those in the garden. And, of course, we could say he was still a man. He was still a husband after the fall. But what happened? It wasn't the same kingdom. He was no longer the exalted and the king of that kingdom. And we could say that he was a servant, but things were different now after the fall, certainly. All right, so what about Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus Christ was born as a man. That God manifests in the flesh. Jesus Christ came down and was a man and made in the likeness of sinful flesh, the Bible says. In the likeness, he was a man. He was also a servant. Jesus Christ was a servant. It says in the form of a servant. He left heaven and came down in the form of a servant. The Bible says he learned obedience. That's why it's called a mystery. You try to break some of these things down, you're like, hey, it was Jesus Christ. He was God. And God's not tempted, but Jesus Christ was tempted. But he was God. And Jesus Christ learned obedience from himself. and from his parents, but yet he never sinned, but he had to learn obedience, being obedient unto the death of the cross, the Bible says. And so he had a job to do. He had something specific to do. And the Bible says he learned obedience and he came in the form of a servant. Jesus Christ is going to be a king. We're talking about that on Sunday nights. He's going to be a king. In the millennium, when he comes back the second time, the first time he came as a baby, the first time he came as a servant, the second time he comes, he's coming back as a king. First time he came as a lamb, the second time he's coming as a lion. Right? He's coming back as king the next time. And so Jesus Christ is as well, will be king over a kingdom. And Jesus Christ is a husband. He's a husband. To who? His bride. The bride's us, those that are saved and born again. We're the bride. We are his. We are his bride, and there's going to be a wedding day someday. It's coming. It's not yet. It's not yet, but there is going to be a wedding day when we are with the Lord. So those are some typology there between Adam and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now let's switch gears here. We're still in Genesis chapter 2, I believe. Let's talk about Eve. Let's talk about Eve a little bit. We'll talk about Eve. And Eve is a type of the church. All right, Eve can be a type of the church. All right, now there's other types of the church in Genesis that might fit a little bit better, or we can draw out some more points about that. But Eve is a type of the church. And so let me say this firstly when we talk about Eve. Somebody's going to kind of go along with Adam being a type of Christ. We'll be able to see the typology quickly. But in Genesis 2:21, the Bible says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof." Eve is the type of the church because Eve gets her life from Adam. That's what happens. Eve gets her life from Adam. And so, Eve, a type of the church. Why? Because we get our life from Christ. So in that same typology, Eve also represents the church in that aspect. And so, obviously, we know that in general, I say in general because there are always exceptions to everything, but in general, men don't mind being in the dirt. Why? Because we were created from the dirt. I'm not saying we all love it. I'm not saying everyone's just looking to be dirty all the time. I'm saying, but you get in the dirt, you got something hard to do, some kind of work to do, you get out there and you get it done, and you don't mind it. That women weren't created. Man was created out of the dust of the earth. Out of the dirt is what man was created out of. But what women weren't. Now, I'm not saying women are afraid of work or they're not afraid to get dirty, but in general, women like to be less dirty than a man is willing to get. Well, and so, like I said, I understand there's exceptions. I like getting dirty. Okay, all right. Calm down, all right? Just stick with what I was saying, all right? Just, you don't have to get offended. These are general truths, right? General truths. Women don't want to be dirty as much. Why? They weren't created from the dust. They were created from Adam. And so Adam and Eve, they're different. Eve has her life from Adam. The church has eternal life from Jesus Christ. It needs to be, as mankind, something was different. We should be different once we get our eternal life from Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ wasn't like you and I. Jesus Christ was pure and perfect. And if we get our eternal life, our rebirth from Jesus Christ, then we tend that there should be a difference there. There should be a difference after salvation. All right, look in Genesis 2, verse 24. Genesis 2, 24. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." All right, this is mentioned again. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, let's look in verse 30. Ephesians 5, 30. For we, that's the writer in the audience, the church at Ephesus, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. All right, Christ and the church. So we see this example of Eve and Adam cleaving to each other. And the same concept here is he says, hey, there's this leaving father and mother and joined together as one flesh. This is this great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church as well. And we understand biblically in a marriage, when two come together, God sees them as one. It's the completion of the marriage, all right, in that. And God sees that completion, and he says, okay, this is a full, complete marriage. And so Jesus Christ leaves the Father and comes to this earth, right? He leaves the Father, just like it says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. He leaves his father and comes to this earth to be here to do what? To get a bride. To get a bride. That's what he does. And now we understand this is spiritual, right? This is a spiritual type of salvation. This isn't the same physically. Listen, you can take preachers have done it. They've taken this example of two coming together and the church and Christ, and what happens? It gets real weird and awkward when you try to take some physical things and put it together spiritually and explain these. But nobody needs to get weird, all right? It's like what Brother Murphy said. Just don't be weird, right? Is it too much to ask? Just don't be weird. And so we can understand this is a spiritual thing that is happening. All right, look in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. I don't think I want Ephesians 1, though. I think I want Colossians 1. I want Colossians 1. Let's do that. It's a pretty fearful thing when you're up here and you know you have the wrong reference, and sometimes you're like, I don't know where that reference is supposed to be. You just can't come up with it right away. But thank you, Lord. I knew where this one was going. All right, Colossians 1. Like I said, I know there's a million things that go on when you're up here, right? I have to battle with my own thoughts of, oh, what's going on? Man, my nose is running. Is it because we got this nice stuff up here? Is that why my nose is running? Like, I'm thinking like 1,000 things at one time, right? And so it's like, well, you should know what you're going to say. I pretty much do. But all the references, like, you take these notes away, it gets a lot harder. Yeah, somewhere in the Bible it says this thing. And then somewhere else in the Bible it says this other thing. Just look it up. You know, I'd sit up here the whole time with my Bible app trying to find the reference. Why? Because I can't remember them all. That's why I write it down, all right, so that I can remember it. Colossians 1. And look here in, I'm like all over the place with this last reference that I was trying to give you. Okay, let's look in verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this mystery is, how in the world do you and I get saved and Christ dwells in us? We're here and this earth. It's spiritually, of course. It's spiritually. And Christ in us, the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. All right, so these things happen spiritually. Look in Ephesians, go back to Ephesians 1. Now is when I want to go here. Ephesians 1:22. And hath put all things under his feet. This is Jesus. This is Christ from verse 20. all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So not only is Christ in us, but we are his body. We are his body. So Christ comes and dwells in us here. But when we get saved, we become part of his body. That's why we're called the body of Christ. We're called the bride of Christ. We are part of his body. How does that happen? Spiritually. Spiritually. That's why the Bible says in a marriage that a man's body is not his own and a woman's body is not her own. What? Together. Together. They each other. And so here we see that in this spiritual union. We see Adam and Eve being that first type. And then we see here Christ and the bride, Eve, being a picture of the church. All right, look in 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, let's look in verse number 2. Paul says, "For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." This is part of the bride. He says, "I want to present you as a chaste virgin, as pure to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." All right, so there's this idea here, the warning about Eve and her sin and her falling and being deceived, beguiled, being deceived and tricked by Satan. The Bible says that Adam was not deceived. That's why Adam gets credit with the sin. That's why it never says in the Bible, it doesn't say Eve by sin on all men came Eve. I mean, that's what Adam tried to do, right? God was like, "Hey, Adam, what's going on here? Why are you different?" He's like, "Lord, there wasn't a lot of options. You gave me this one." She took the fruit. And he says, "All right, Eve, what about it?" And she's like, "Me? Serpent." You know, and the serpent's like, "Yep, it was me." You know, but it was the age old pass the buck. But that's why Adam gets credit, because the Bible says that Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. Now, it doesn't make sin right, but a deception means you're not able to discern what is going on. You're not able to discern right and wrong. So Eve was deceived. Adam knew what he was doing. Adam knew, and it didn't take long for Adam to be able to look at Eve and say, "Something's different." And that's kind of a whole other Bible study, but to say something's different with her than it was when we were right and something's happened. And so he wasn't deceived. He knew what would happen when he ate the fruit, and he ate it. And so Adam's credited with that. But it's this warning of Eve being deceived and her sinful nature that happens. And so Paul takes this likeness of Eve and says, "Okay, to the church, what I want to do is I want to present you to Christ when at the judgment seat of Christ, when I present you as the bride, I want you to be pure and perfect. But what I'm afraid of is that the devil's going to deceive you and take you away from that simplicity that's in Christ." And so he makes that likeness. He says, "Okay, I want you to be pure. I want you to be, when you stand before God, I want you to be right with him. I want all things to be blessed when you stand before God as the church." And so he warns about the devil, and he tells us that about his, we're not ignorant of his devices. And he warns all this stuff when he writes and says, "Hey, be careful." Why? Because I'm afraid that, man, you're going to be tricked and deceived, and you're going to stand before Christ not the same. Not the same. And so that type of Eve there in her sin, and Paul says, "Hey, the church, you should stay pure and you should live right and don't be deceived by the devil and don't fall for his tricks and don't go for these things." Because Paul draws that out. He draws that out with Eve. And there's other things that we could draw out, but we don't know for sure in the scriptures, right? When we go back to Ephesians 5, you don't have to turn there, but when it starts to lay out the wife and the husband, it likens every part of that to Christ and the church. So if we ran that references, we could say, we could deduce, and this is why you kind of get in trouble when you start to try to make everything fit this broad spectrum. We could say, okay, Eve was probably a type in the church in her submission unto Adam. All right, because even as the church unto Christ, and Christ was the head of the church, right? We could say that. We could maybe say Adam loved his wife as Christ loved the church, because Adam, that's another typology, Adam did give himself for her, not deceived, right? So Adam loved her, and when he said something's not right, Adam did do that. The only problem is he didn't do it in perfection like Christ, right? It wasn't a good thing. Say, what would have happened? There's lots of what would have happened in the Bible, right? Isn't there? You think about things. Well, what would have happened if God would have, if Adam would have refused, right? Well, I don't know. He has more ribs. I don't know what to say there. You know, would the Lord have done the same thing? I don't know. I don't know what would have happened, right? We can't start to get into this and surmise and say, oh, I know exactly what would have happened and he should have done this. I don't know. That's beyond my scope, right? Maybe that's a question we can ask the Lord someday when we get to heaven. So, okay, what would have happened if Adam would have chose to stay with God instead of sin with Eve, right? I don't know. I don't know how that would have went. It would have been a mess. I know that. Why? Because sin brings a mess. That's what it does. So we can try to draw all these types and submission and love and the family and this perfection and this type of Christ in the church and how we should be, but it's not really there. We don't have all the information. We don't have everything there. And so we do know that Eve, in this type, it's not one that I wrote down, but it was one I was kind of thinking about. We do know in this type that Eve was created to be a help to Adam. And it was a help to Adam. And as the church, we're here to do some things that Jesus Christ doesn't do on this earth. To have a testimony and to be able to witness and to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can do that as well. We'll talk about that next hour, actually. Now, those are some things where Eve and the church are a great type there. And I don't want to get into the next one. I don't want to get into Cain and Abel. That's coming up here. But we're just going to end early for Sunday school. All right, no taking naps now. This is your opportunity to fellowship here for a little bit. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. Lord, thank you for the opportunity, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, we ask that you bless now this next service to come. And Lord, you bring in somebody that might be lost. Lord, needs to hear the gospel. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take a little break here.